Hey, yo, the Deej.
Yeah?
Did you finish your homework?
Yes.
Did you do your chores?
Yes.
Even the dog poo?
Yes.
Do you want to watch a movie?
Sure. What are we watching?
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, we're going back in time, or back to the future?
That's right.
Both?
Maybe.
I think it's both.
Something like that. That's fine. But we are definitely talking about episode 15.
Which is Back to the Future.
That is right, ladies and gentlemen. Back to the Future. The Deej has only seen this movie once, about, I think, 3 years ago.
It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Which, quite frankly, I think was the last time I watched it.
Yeah.
And, by the way...
There's a lot that we don't remember at all.
Crap, son. I can't believe I forgot, like, the largest...
plot twist in the whole thing.
Oh, I mean, I can't remember, like, when we were coming up to it. You know what? Even before we go to that. We have to talk about a few other things first. But, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Movies My Dad Made Me Watch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and we just lost some listeners because that was a bit creepy.
Yeah, so this is episode 15. But before we get into the episode and the whole shebang-a-bang, I want to talk about something I did over this past week.
Oh, and... what did you do this past week, my son?
I went to an Austin FC game.
That's right, baby! All right! Austin FC!
Now I consider that we're big fans, because number one, my father works there, so...
That's right.
So, and God's very, for my father.
Very proud to be representing Austin Football Club. I love that club. I love our stadium. And definitely the experience that I think my son had... going to, it was that international friendly against Tigres, which was really, really cool. The outcome maybe wasn't what we wanted, but hey, let me tell you, the Deej sat in the supporter section.
And it's number one, two things. It's a complete party, and when everybody gets to go, beer gets flown everywhere, so it's really fun. You get sticky as all heck, but it's fun.
It really, really is. And I'm telling you right now, I think bar none, hands down, Austin Football Club has the best supporters in the entire world of MLS. And I will gladly take the Pepsi challenge against anyone who says otherwise. That being said, we're not here to talk about footy. We are here to talk about movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one in particular, one of the greatest movies, I think, of all time that's ever been made, man. I'll throw it out there. I love this film. Great film.
Good movie. Good movie. Sometimes, in some bit, it's a bit dated by things they say and stuff.
Sure. I mean, 1985, which we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, I can understand that. But let me tell you, man, it still holds tea, bro. It still holds tea. I think it's still a fantastic film. What did you think about it overall? Watching it for the second time now, actually.
I liked it. Some bits, I mean, my favorite genre of movies is science fiction. So I know a lot about all that nonsense science. I will say, I can get where a lot of those later movies got their ideas from.
Yeah.
You can tell. A lot of it is in this movie.
Oh, sure. Oh, my gosh. This movie must have influenced a ton of flicks. But, of course, this movie was probably inspired by a lot of earlier, you know, science fiction films that came out back in the day, too. As a matter of fact, let's jump right into the business portion of things.
The business side of things.
Like we were saying, this movie was released in the summer of 1985.
Good year?
I was six. I believe I was living in Germany which is Germany. Actually pretty. Germany, the Germans. Shout out Germany. That was actually one of the coolest places to live, by the way. We can talk about that another time. Anyway, the movie was directed by the amazing director, Robert Zemeckis. It was actually written by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. What's interesting about this duo is that they've wrote a couple of films, especially starting in the 70s, that didn't do very, very well until I believe they did Romancing the Stone, which was a... Michael Douglas film, I believe it was. Great movie, very funny stuff. But these guys actually started writing this movie in 1980.
Oh.
And apparently it wasn't catching on to any kind of major movie labels or movie houses at the time, because it kind of wasn't along the lines of what was coming out at that around that time, which was kind of like raunchy kind of comedies that were like, you know, kind of dirty and, you know, lots of cussing and stuff like that. So this movie wasn't kind of finding its niche in that group.
Because it's PG.
So is it PG? I thought it was PG-13.
Yeah, no, it's PG.
Okay, fair enough. So anyway, So this movie was put on a back burner for a little while, until I believe Romancing the Stone kind of blew up and they got opportunities to do other movies as far as this group is concerned. So what happened is they started, I want to say they started filming it in 1984.
Okay.
And then
they
originally had a different star in the movie. So the movie was written with Michael J. Fox in mind to play Marty. However, he was doing a TV show at the time that was very, very popular called Family Ties. And the reason why that Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis liked him so much is because he was kind of quirky and kind of goofy and kind of played, you know, this comedic character. Although Family Ties, he kind of played a different character where he was like this young Republican that like absolutely loved Ronald Reagan. Like he had like the picture of Ronald Reagan on the side of his bed.
The jelly beans?
And I think maybe, but I think like he would talk to like the photo. I can't remember. Like I remember watching the show, but I couldn't remember. Anyway, a great, great actor, right? And so he was in mind. Anyway, he was invested in this show. Plus, I want to say that the mom in the show, I can't remember what the actress name was pregnant. So she left the show because of she was on maternity leave. So they couldn't also lose another actor. Just, it was so popular. So they went with this actor called Eric Stoltz. And Eric Stoltz is a very, very good actor. I don't know if you've seen any movies with him in it, but there's a few that I'll definitely show you later. Anyhow, Eric Stoltz actually ended up not being a good fit at all for the film.
Oh.
What's interesting is that they did a lot of filming with him on there. And then because the director didn't really like a lot of it, they actually had to do reshoots and they had planned reshoots in there. Well, come to find out, they decided that they were no longer going to go with Eric Stoltz at all. But before they could fire him, they had to have a backup. So they went right back to Michael J. Fox's boss that I believe it was running the show Family Ties. And they finally let him go to go come and check it out. Michael J. Fox signed on to it and he actually ended up having to do double duty. So he would go and film Family Ties in the morning and then he would run over to the Universal Studio lot and then do Back to the Future all night long.
Aww.
Like there were times he was working 16, 17 hour days and he would fall asleep on the way home. They would have to literally carry him into his house. He later on said that it was probably one of the toughest gigs that he's ever had to do, but he was so grateful that he was able to do it because the show Family Ties was still a success, still remained a success. And then of course we know how good
Back to the Future
did. So yeah, I thought that was really, really interesting.
I
thought you had something to say. So speaking of Michael J. Fox, let's go back into the cast. So Michael J. Fox, as we just said, played Marty McFly. Of course, we have the amazing Christopher Lloyd, who played Doc Brown. Leah Thompson, who played Lorraine. That was Marty's mom. Crispin Glover, who... if I am just allowed to kind of fanboy out a little bit, just a couple things about Crispin Glover. So Crispin Glover actually lost his voice during the movie, and he had to come and dub in a couple of his lines later on. Also, Glover used a lot of his own mannerisms, but one of the writer's producers called him nuts. And Zemeckis himself did not like some of his choices, and he told him to kind of tone it down and kind of play a little bit more straight. Me, personally, I totally disagree. I think they need less... Crispin Glover is absolutely nuts. That's the beauty behind the guy, okay? Like, not nuts in, like, you know... I'm going to go, yeah, right. But he's just eccentric and like kind of brilliant in a very weird way. And I love this dude so much. I say, don't turn it down. I say, turn it up. Let that boy fly his wings. Okay. Let him be like a peacock and let him spread it out, because that's when you find Crispin Glover at his absolute best. I just wanted to kind of, you know, fanboy out a little bit.
Is he
and by the way, my dude, phenomenal cheekbones. Okay, shout out Crispin Glover's cheekbones. They're absolutely
yeah,
amazing.
He has good cheekbones.
And then one more was Thomas F. Wilson, and Thomas F. Wilson played Biff. That was the pretty much the main cast of the movie right there. You were gonna say something really quickly.
Oh, I was just gonna say how Biff is a complete poopy head.
Yeah, yeah. We'll definitely get into that in a minute. And just to kind of finish off a couple of things. So the movie was nominated for a couple of Academy Awards. It ended up winning for... Oh, man, I just had it. I am so sorry, y'all. It won for... I want to say it was for special effects, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so it had one, and it was nominated for a couple of more. I didn't even mention... Our boy, Alan Silvestri, is back.
Okay.
And he's the one that did the score for this movie. And, of course, they had a great soundtrack. I mean, Huey Lewis was on there, which was great. And that's what we played in the beginning as well. Then, of course, lastly, the movie, although it had to add a little bit more money to the budget, was $19 million. I believe it ended at $22 million because of... having to do reshoots and stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that. But after its run at the box office.
Oh, no.
$388.8 million, my son. This movie completely dominated the year of 1985. I want to say it was the highest grossing movie in that year as well. The Library of Congress has put this in its national archives also as being one of the greatest movies of the 80s for sure, and quite possibly one of the greatest movies ever made. So there you go. That is the business side of things. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, my son's jaw is on the floor for a movie being made for a whopping $22 million. The profit margin on that is fantastic. And I am now picking up...
calculated.
I am now picking up my son's jaw from outside in the garage.
He'll be right back.
Anyway, but yeah, $388 million, man. That's a lot of chinga-chinga to bring home to daddy. You know what I'm saying?
Let's just say the main cast got paid very funnily that day.
Yeah, they also ended up playing, which I thought was a classy move, because I want to say it was Zemeckis who ended up firing Eric Stoltz, and he said it was probably one of the hardest things that he ever did. They ended up paying his full salary well. Yeah, so in the end, I think obviously they made the right decision, but they were also good people about the fact that they still paid him his wage. So I don't know how much it was, but anyway, so on to the movie. Dang it. Anyway, proceed, sir.
Okay, we open the movie with all the clocks, which, number one, that would drive me nuts.
Oh.
I would just want to, like, put earmuffs in and just live like that for the rest of my life.
I mean, one's obsession with time has gone overboard, son, for
yes,
sure.
Yeah. And then the coffee vapor with no pot. How are you going to drink that?
Oh,
are you just going to put your mouth under and go,
I think someone just forgot to put the pot there.
Oh my gosh, people. And then Dad said, in the 80s, apparently you people had a real fascination with, like, automatic stuff.
Dude, I don't know what it is, but the last few movies that we've seen, especially the ones that have been centralized in the 80s, mm-hmm. Has just been, like, everything has just automatic. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, mm-hmm. Flight of the Navigator, I think, was along those lines as well. And then, of course, the opening for this one,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
And then we have a sweet guitar and the amp. Yikes, that's, like, dude, that thing is huge.
Dude, that whole amp was next level, dude. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. you know who would be super jealous of that amp? I don't know if you know this. Well, you obviously don't know this band because I haven't been able to show it to you yet. But there's this band called Spinal Tap, mm-hmm. which is kind of like it's a fake band. But they're all musicians. I believe they can all play the instruments as well. So anyway, okay. There was this movie that was made back in the day. And they had glorified having, like, these wall of amps and, like, turning everything up to 11.
Yes.
It's absolutely amazing. I can't wait to show you. But, yeah, I definitely think that even Spinal Tap would be a little bit jealous of that setup.
Can I say something?
Sure.
How do those eardrums still exist?
Eardrums?
Eardrums.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'd have been fried.
Dude,
absolutely fried,
they would
for
have been
sure.
Gone. And then we get the line of rock and roll, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he did rock and he did roll.
Yes, after he got blown halfway across the room.
And then the missing plutonium under Doc's bed might be some foreshadowing there.
Indeed.
And then Doc tells him to come at 1:15 a.m. Twin Pine Falls Mall. That's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. That's a big name for the mall.
A great soundtrack starting with Huey Lewis, which
yep.
we brought up in the beginning.
Absolutely.
And then skateboarding using cars brings back memories of Dad busting his butt.
Wait, what? What did I do?
We're riding your skateboard on cars.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I forgot. I actually tried to block that out of my mind. I can't believe I even told you that story. No, I do. I miss skateboarding. And I tried to do that a couple of times. That, you know, like holding on to the back of cars and stuff. Yeah, I failed miserably every time. I probably ate it 99.9% of the time. And then the one time I did it, I probably bust my butt because I was going too fast.
And then the principal is a complete jerk.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Most principals in movies aren't great people, though.
I feel like, I think that's the same dude from Top Gun. I love his voice, though, the way he projects. But yeah, he's a total jerk.
Okay, what's Top Gun?
Top Gun, wait a minute, I've not shown you Top Gun yet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we might have to put that on. Top Gun, Tom Cruise, naval movie about really cool jet pilots
mm-hmm.
and jet fighters. And it's really awesome. So, yes, I'm going to have to show it to you.
Okay. And then, so cool how Huey Lewis is, like, pretty much incorporated through the whole movie.
Not through the whole movie, but I think, he has a cameo, too, doesn't he?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think he does have a cameo. Well, I think it comes up here in a little bit.
Oh, it already came up.
Oh.
I forgot.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox can wail on the guitar.
Unbelievable guitarist.
Shredding.
Absolutely.
And then the Pinheads is a good name for a band.
I think so.
But the way they knock him down for being too loud is like, excuse me? 1980s, Metallica,
dude,
Dio.
Rock and roll, baby. Okay, we need to play it loud and proud, my friends. Mm-hmm.
There's just all these great metal, like old school metal bands and all that. They're playing like that. Why can't we just respect them?
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Garbage.
Well said, son.
And then, this is what Dad said. I'm not taking any conceptuation with this.
Oh, you, wait a minute. What was that word?
Michael, don't worry about it.
No, we're just not going to just float over a word that we just made up on the fly. Wait a minute. What was that word again?
Nothing.
Okay, fair enough. No, and we'll talk about that offline. I can't believe you just made up a word. That was like scrumptulescent. Okay? That was just made up anyway. Please go on.
And Michael J. Fox. Yep. That is a mouthful, man. this is what Dad said. His girlfriend is one of those ride or die type people.
She is, though, man. The way that she was trying to help him out, like, when he was showing up late, she was like, hey, let's go around the back way because the principal's always already looking for you. Da-da-da-da. Total down chick, man. I like her a lot.
Bro, you better not be stealing people's girlfriends. That's some messed up
stuff. No, I would never steal. Never steal his girlfriend. I would admire from afar.
And that was kind of creepy, too. Save the clock tower lady is kind of creepy. She's kinda like, creepy. Save the clock tower! They're just rubbing it in their face.
That's true. And then, like, it just drops in a quarter, like, and she's like, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, oh, dang, a quarter just got her along. Okay, cool, lady.
All whatever. Then again, it's the 80s.
Well, yeah,
a quarter could buy you some, like, food and stuff.
Calm down, bro. Like, the 80s wasn't like the 40s, bro, okay? Like, 25 cents is not going to get you a lot, okay?
Maybe like a ham sandwich. Subway.
No, it's definitely not going to be a ham sandwich from Subway.
And then the way that she wrote the I love you on him, you just saw Marty's face and he was like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh, then again, he got the kiss
like,
too.
It's nothing like young love, man. You know, being told for the first time, I loves you. Okay. That's right. I forgot. You have no heart. You do not know how to love.
Dad misses skateboarding, as you heard. And I think Tony Hawk does sometimes, too.
Yeah, but I think he still skateboards, man. I follow him on Twitter. He still does his thing, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was talking about the video games and how bad they are nowadays.
Wow!
No, back in the day, the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 2, amazing games. Now they're actually really bad.
Wow!
Have you played any of the new ones?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I played with your Uncle Nando.
Yes, that's the remake. Those are actually really good, but there's some ones in between that are horrible. No, they're actually bad.
Ladies and gentlemen.
They're actually pretty bad.
I was one of the greatest
Biff
ever titles.
And McFly scene. Biff is a jerk, as always.
Hello,
hello.
McFly.
Butthead. He's my bum.
I think there was somewhere I read that the actor that played Biff actually made that word up.
What?
He just said it on set one day.
Biff.
Yeah, no, Butthead.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I read that somewhere, dude. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, sorry.
He invented Butthead. Cool. I have no new respect for him now. And then, Crispin Glover's laugh is really funny.
Yeah, it is.
How do you do it? Is it like that? That's not funny. That's sad. And then the dinner scene is really good. For some reason, tons of Diet Pepsi, which Dad and me can say, it's not great.
Oh, it's not great, no.
Oh, then against the 80s, not great choices made back then?
Oh, man, let me tell you, though, the product placement for the Pepsi stuff, geez Louise, they were slanging that, buddy.
Ooh, they made some sweet profits after that.
I guess so.
And then Mom just drinking straight vodka, like, that's the thing to do.
Man, let me tell you, I think Mom was having some hard times on that day, brother. Them kids just sitting there wilding out, her husband just watching the daggone Honeymooners on TV, man. I don't know. I think she's had a tough day. Mama wanted to chill out.
Yeah. And then he arrives at the mall at 1:16 a.m. Mm. Really, bro? A minute late.
A minute late, buddy. A minute
Dang
late.
It.
Still didn't miss no action, though.
No, okay. No, he didn't miss anything. And then the Pelorian.
The what?
You wrote down Pelorian.
I did not. It's DeLorean.
You made a P instead of a D.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Okay, I have sloppy memory. I apologize.
The Pelorian, the chosen car of Napoleon. The DeLorean is shown in all its glory.
Oh, man. What a ridiculously cool-looking car. But, boy, was it crap.
Oh, it wasn't great?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't great at all. Looked really awesome, though.
Super futuristic looking, I would add.
Indeed.
And then we see Doc Brown for the first time.
That's right, Christopher Lloyd, man. What a freaking legend.
We get an old tech alert. Now, I'm used, when I see camcorders, I think of like small little cameras. This thing is like a movie studio camera.
It's a gigantic camera that is carrying. You're absolutely right. Also, Doc Brown, inventor of blogging. Perhaps?
He created YouTube.
Did Doc Brown create YouTube?
Although that's
in this
not,
movie?
To be fair, that's not really a great invention at all.
Hey, man, let me tell you, though. YouTube has done a lot for a lot of people, man. Good, bad, or indifferent. They have done a lot for a lot of people. And a lot of people have actually made a lot of careers off that. Once again, good, bad, or indifferent. Shout out Doc Brown for inventing blogging and YouTube.
Okay, and then just, you know, throwing Einstein, one of the cutest dogs I've ever seen.
Great dog, Einstein.
Oh, I would just want to cuddle him.
Yes, absolutely.
Puts him in basically RC car on steroids.
Yes, for sure.
And he just pulls it out, puts Einstein in it, which, by the way, PETA would not accept this at all.
No, I would imagine that PETA would be quite upset at the fact that they're putting the dog in a time-traveling machine.
Oh, then again, they approve putting a dog in a spaceship.
I think they put a monkey in the spaceship as well.
Yeah, so, yeah. PETA, maybe not great choices. Honestly. And then, the magic number is 88 miles per hour. Yep. And actually, the other day, we went a little bit further than this. Nothing happened.
No, nothing happened. But
we don't have a flux capacitor.
I was about to say, the Honda Pilot does not have a flux capacitor. I believe that was an extra option of $1 jillion, so couldn't afford that, pal.
No, if we just saved up like two more pennies, we probably could.
Oh, is that right? Yes. Let me go ahead and just drop you down these two red cents right over here. Is that enough for the flux capacitor?
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, Dad loves this scene, and then we get some really horrible CGI.
Wait a minute, what was the horrible CGI?
When the car goes to time travel.
Oh.
I'm going to call this...
That's fine. It's fine.
My cheese number one, Limburger.
Wow, we're going middle of the road with the Limburger.
It didn't deserve mozzarella. Didn't deserve that mercy.
Okay, fair enough. That's fine. You know, you're just going to bag on it. That's one of the greatest movies ever made. We're going to just call cheese. That's fine. It's fine, ladies and gentlemen. No big deal.
Out of time on the license plate is actually really cool.
It is really cool. I agree.
And then, Doc, you built a time machine using a DeLorean. Pretty good line. I thought it would be pretty cool if, you know, I built a time machine, but if I'm going to do it, why not do it in style?
That's exactly right. What a great line delivery, too, dude.
I did not read off the notes. I just remembered most of the bits.
There you go. Fair enough.
And the car is really cold for some reason, even though it went, like, literally a minute.
Oh, when it came back. Yeah, yeah. I was tripping about that, too. Does Doc explain why it was cold?
No, he doesn't. But Doc is like, oh, my gosh. Now, I'm curious if he's excited that his puppy is still alive. Or if the car time traveled. I don't know.
Yeah,
which
no,
one.
I think Doc was more proud of the fact that the car came back. I think it was a consolation prize that Einstein came.
I'm going to find him and take care of business. And then the flux capacitor, really dope name. And then Doc Brown remembers that in November 15th, 1955, the day that Doc Brown invented time travel.
Son. It is November 5th. We have done
15th.
Extensive research over it. It is November 5th, not 15th. 5th. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Five bells are ringing.
15th.
Okay. You just live in your own mind, son. Ladies and gentlemen,
and we talk
bless
about,
his heart.
Breeding pine trees. Like, you
oh,
know.
Breeding. Yeah, the breeding pine trees line. What is that?
How do you breed a pine tree? How do you have...
What do you go through? Just play some Marvin Gaye? Like, we gonna leave these two saplings alone for a minute. Have fun, trees.
Just like, put it right... Dude.
Is there, like, some kind of, like, documentary group that's, like, just sitting there, like, with a video camera on it? This is for science. Get out of here, breeding trees. It was such a trip when you said that.
Put, number one, put red lights in the room. Number two, put sexy R&B music in there. Number three, have a guy with a sax. Number four,
well, if you have a guy with a sax... You have a guy with the sax, you don't have to worry about the sexy R&B music, because the sexy R&B music is made by a dude with sax.
Okay.
But it's kind of weird, though. Just some random dude.
Anyway,
let's go.
Oh, man, we're
we
making...
We killed that bit. We killed it too bad.
1.21 gigawatts. I don't know if that's a real measurement of...
Sure, I buy it. Nah, sure, I buy it. Don't know what it is. Neil deGrasse Tyson, holler back at us when you listen to this episode. Let us know if that's a...
If that will ever happen.
If that's a true measurement of, what, electricity?
Okay, this is great. Okay, I don't remember any of this. Dad doesn't remember this. But Doc just stole the plutonium from the Libyan nationalist movement, and they wanted to have Doc make basically a bomb, like a nuke or something.
Yeah.
And then he instead made a very crappy bomb using pinball parts <That's> and then kept all the plutonium for himself. Savage, but still bomb maker. I have a lot of things to say about this bit.
Okay.
Number one, you and me are today's years old finding out that Doc Brown is an evil scientist, yes, a terrorist, and a scam artist.
Yes, that's exactly right. Let's repeat that again, ladies and gentlemen.
An evil scientist.
Evil scientist.
A terrorist.
He's an absolute terrorist.
And a scam artist.
Okay, come on. First of all, he was, like, propositioned to make bombs by the Libyan, the Libyan nationalist movement, okay? Make said bomb. Not using the plutonium, fine, but still makes a bomb out of pinball parts. Sorry, guys, that's doing damage. Terrorist, okay? Then he lies about it. Scam artist, ladies and gentlemen, Doc Brown, quite possibly, maybe the villain in this movie. Wanted, we don't know yet.
Wanted for 1.21
gigawatts. Right before we go to break, real quick, I do want to touch on the fact that literally, ladies and gentlemen, my son and I completely forgot about the fact that the Libyan movement had targeted Doc Brown to make him a bomb. How do we forget that?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the rest of Back to the Future. Because we're going back in time.
We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to News News, where a Libyan terrorist shot this random doctor named Doc Brown in the middle of a mall parking lot. Sir, let's go on the scene now to talk to the person. Boop.
That's right, Chip. I just got here to Twin Falls Pines Malls. Whatever the name of this place is, it's getting shot crazy. We have these crazy Libyans over here driving around in what appears to be a quite lovely shade of blue VW bus. And they shot some guy with white hair. Back to you at the studio there, Kevin.
Sir, are you okay mentally?
No. I feel like I'm going to die. Frankly, I want to go home.
Here's a helicopter. It's calling you now.
I quit. This is too much. I quit.
Sir, a helicopter's there now.
That's fine. I'm going home. Linda, I'm coming home, baby.
Sir, did you just see that car go by?
Oh my gosh! I believe,
ladies and gentlemen, he has actually left the city. Oh nope. No, now he's running. Nope. No, he's running in the parking lot. Oh, he thinks he's on fire. No. Anyway, we've killed it. We actually killed it.
It was funny though.
It started out funny, but I think I murdered it. Apologies, Linda. And welcome back.
So, number one, Darth Vader, if you're listening, hire these Libyans. They would be amazing stormtroopers.
Like, the worst shots in the world until they were point-blank range, obviously, right? I'm still surprised that they shot Doc Brown. But then, like, start chasing Marty and can't shoot Marty to save his daggone life. Oh, it's awful. Though, seriously, though, on a serious note, shout out on that VW bug.
Oh.
It was a really, really cool.
Bug?
Really cool. Bus. Excuse
I was
me.
About to say.
I think I said bug a couple times. Yeah. No, bus. Excuse me.
Okay. You're telling me that a bunch of terrorists pretty much are driving a hippie bus?
Apparently. I mean, it's kind of funny. I guess Alanis Morissette would find that ironic, don't you think?
Yeah, pretty ironic. Because one's raging out absolute war and the other's raging absolute peace.
That joke just really flew right over your head there. Yeah. Shout out to the people that get that joke. Anyway, please continue.
The chasing is very good, but obviously, since these people are flipping stormtroopers, they can't shoot. So they completely missed him. Marty hit 88 miles per hour while crying, I might add. So,
wouldn't you be crying if you were getting shot by Libyan terrorists? Or, not even to put a nationality behind it, right? Terrorists in general?
I would be more crying that Doc Brown got killed and he's my friend.
Maybe he was crying that Doc Brown.
That's what he was crying about.
Hello.
You were.
But I'd be crying because of the terrorists. I'm not going to lie.
You're I'm soulless. Just saying. You're completely soulless. And then I love the barn scene. And then the kid with the comic book, which shout out me and you, loving comics.
Shout out.
Comic books, you are amazing. Go Joe.
Okay. The more you know.
I said go Joe, not the more you know. G.I. Joe.
And knowing is half the battle.
And then, oh, we've got off the rails already.
And then Mr. Peabody's or Peabody?
Mr. Peabody. Mr. Peabody, who owned
the farm.
The tree farm.
Yeah.
The pine tree farm that was doing the mating. And yeah. Whatnot.
I love
how. We are in the jungle.
I love.
In the wild.
I love how.
Watching two wild pines doing the mating dance.
They're
calling to each other, shooting needles at one another.
Oh, man. And then, considering that they have, by the way, I love that Peabody. Peabody.
Ladies and gentlemen, my son is so immature. Absolutely immature.
Thinking that the plane, that's a plane with no wings because you have literally zero brain cells and can't tell that it's a car.
Yeah, but like, but on the cool though, he gets out of the car looking exactly like the dude's comic book, the science fiction comic book that he's reading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Comes exactly out that it's what turns out that we find out 1955 because he has now gone back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I would be freaking the heck out too, bro. Especially when you see the doors on the DeLorean that go up like Gullwing doors, bro. Yes, sorry. Sir. That would have freaked me out.
Okay. I was just doing a funny face for Dad. And then Mr. Sandman plays on the radio as Marty is extremely shook.
Yeah.
And then the clock tower works. That's how he knows he's back in time.
Yeah, that's actually very true.
Mm-hmm. And then funny how the mayors both had colors for names. Goldie in the 80s and Red the mayor, I guess, in the past. But they're both going for progress.
Yeah, it's true. Yep.
So, kind of cool.
Kind of cool. Kind of cool.
And then Biff's crew is hilarious. We have 3D glasses guy, the guy with gloves, and the guy with a toothpick in his mouth. Come see this on Friday night, and only Friday night.
Friday, for 1 hour, because that's how long the movie is, and it stinks.
And by the way, 3D glasses man, is that his official copyright name?
I believe so. I'm sure he has an actual name, but he's 3D glasses guy for this particular movie.
3D glasses guy. And he wears these 3D glasses through the whole movie.
Through the whole movie.
Number one, bro. It's not like everything is a movie, bro. Why are you just watching with 3D glasses?
So, on a personal note, I've done that. And it completely wrecked my eyes, dude. I did it for a whole day, like, as a gag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, no one thought it was cool.
It's not a fashion statement?
No, heck no, it wasn't a fashion. I was trying to be funny. It went over like a lead balloon. However, I thought it was cool in my own mind, but it didn't because I knew it was a dork.
And then, I will say this. McFly is just getting harassed. Like, bro. Say something like, bro, I don't like you messing with me. Bro.
Just a little something.
Yeah.
Just stand up for yourself, McFly. Please and thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then we find out why he is called Goldie, we think. Because he got that sweet gold tooth.
That's exactly right. Goldie is smooth, though, man.
Oh, yeah.
We find out later on how smooth he is, though.
Mm-hmm. And then a sweet old school Schwinn.
Yeah, it's a Schwinn bike.
Schwinn.
Yeah, it is a nice bike, actually.
And George is a complete peeping Tom.
He is a naughty boy.
Sign in on the ladies, maybe when he shouldn't.
This is not what we do, ladies and gentlemen. We don't peep on people, guys. Come on now. We're better than that as a society, okay? That's nasty.
And ladies.
Well,
sure. No, guys would probably do it more for
probably because
other reasons.
We're just awful.
Yeah.
We're just awful.
We're not great species.
We gotta figure it out, man. Men do better, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out men that are doing better.
Yeah, we like you. And then, how weird would it be to get hit by a car, number one, saving your dad who doesn't know he's your dad yet.
Right.
End up in your mom's house, but your mom is almost exactly your age, but then she starts hitting on you.
Dude.
Ooh.
Dude, let me tell you. That had to be the most awful feeling that you could ever experience.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, shout out younger mom. She was hot, bro. Okay?
But, yeah. Nah, mate. Nah, can't run with you. Can't do it. Can't do it. I'm going to need you to back up from the bed, please, and thank you, ma'am.
Oh, man, that must have been awkward to film.
Well, I mean, no, because the actors have no relation. Mm-hmm. But, like, to get into the mind space, like, as, like, Michael J. Yeah. Fox, like, oh, my gosh, this is my mom trying to kiss me, dude. Yuck city.
And then the, dinner scene is extra creepy with the mom.
Heck yeah, it is.
And then, funny how Marty spoils the whole thing of that whole episode of Honeymooners, and then starts talking about reruns. My boy, the young son, is like, what's a rerun? What magical place is this? Is it where I run backwards? Or?
He's like, rerun, run? This is a brand new episode. He's like, Oh yeah.
And then his mom is starting to be super fresh with him.
Super fresh. I believe she may have put a hand on his leg. No, at she one was time. A... Oh, just stop it, mom. Stop it right now.
But you can't say anything. You can't say anything.
It's so nasty, dude. Yeah, you don't want to mess up with the time space-time continuum.
Mhm. That thing. And then and then dad, with no knowledge who JFK is, although understandably so, he's a president in the 60s.
Right.
For all you people who don't know out there.
That's right. Shout out.
And then watching TV during dinner must have been so weird back in the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would definitely think that it was a luxury mm-hmm. back then, because not a lot of households had TVs at that time. They were so expensive. So to have that kind of instant entertainment, you know, whilst eating must have been really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we definitely... these days
have evolved.
Well, yeah, but I mean we kind of do it too, but I definitely think that well, us as a family, we're definitely doing a lot better without doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd rather put on music while we're eating dinner, for sure,
and then we just talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then so normal now to think that, like, nowadays it's just more of a convenience than it being like super cool, never knowing. Nowadays, it's just more of like, oh, yeah, I have this to watch.
Yeah, I guess truly the only flex is like you having the newest model of TV.
Oh, then again, that things are, you know, probably old by the time you buy it.
Well, sure. Well, true. But like, you know, I guess, you know, just trying to have that newest technology, like your UHDs or your 4Ks and your curved TVs and whatnot. Yeah, it's definitely a yeah, exactly. It's definitely a different flex now, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think you can flex much with a box with a screen on it.
Not anymore, anyway.
And then Doc Brown's house, number one, he's living in a mansion.
Dude, that thing is massive, bro. Such a cool house,
too. Oh, yeah. And then a very weird hat on his head. And I have two things to say. Number one, this, by the way, is a cheese combo.
Okay.
First time we've ever done this.
Okay.
So part one of this cheese combo is that the hat. It's horrible.
Oh, yeah, when he greets him at the door, yeah, right? Right. Hat.
Number two, 30 years ago.
Right.
And he still has white hair.
Yep, he surely does.
Gorg.
Oh! You're giving it Gorg?
I had enough mercy not to give it Extreme.
Wow. Fair enough.
I had enough mercy.
Okay, fair enough. I get it.
And, can I stay there? I won't buy it off of you for 2 cents, because that's all that I have.
What is up with you and your obsession with 2 pennies today? Like, everything, you're just buying everything for 2 pennies.
A coat jacket with the snakeskin, or I'll give you 2 pennies for it.
Hey, let me tell you, that jacket, though, that's a cold pimp jacket right there, boy. That's a smooth jacket. That's a smooth jacket, man.
That's some squee drip.
Yeah, straight up.
And then, Doc doesn't believe he came from the future, obviously. And then Doc is coming to see the DeLorean, and then he says this super funny line, "I finally invented something that actually works."
That's right.
So, Doc Brown, you've been working on this thing for like 30 years. You haven't made with anything that could actually work remotely.
Whatsoever. Kay. Just failure after failure.
Okay. And then, no wonder your president is an actor. He has to look good on TV.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, yeah.
He liked jelly beans.
He sure did. That's right.
That's about all I'm going to say about him.
That's all I got to say about that.
The physical acting by Chris Lloyd is amazing.
100%.
Great Scott!
Yeah, great line, too. Mm-hmm. Great line.
And then 1.21 gigawatts. That's really fun when you say it fast.
Yeah, it is.
And then can only be obtained by a bolt of lightning.
Yeah, that's...
I was expecting you to say something after that.
No, then you have your moment there.
Doc Brown, just super cool, how super cool scientist dude. And then he has some really cool pictures of Ben Franklin, Sir Isaac Newton. Shout out Fig... Really, Dad, we're shouting out Fig Newtons?
I'm shouting out Fig Newtons. Okay, they're delicious. Okay, Dad. It's not a cookie. It's a Fig Newton.
All right, okay? We're not talking about, like, his discoveries on science or any of that. Fig Newtons.
Shout out Fig Newtons. Shout out to the apple
you're
bumping them on
kid.
His head.
You're a fat kid, man. And then Albert Einstein and Thomas Edison.
Yeah, man.
Pretty good batch of smart boys.
I think I would have put Nikola Tesla in there. You know, instead of Thomas Edison, but you know, yeah. Whatever.
Well, Thomas Edison basically invented the light bulb.
Well, sure, he invented a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, whatever.
And then the interaction with his mom erases his future, which, bro, that's trip number one. And number two, Doc is like, bro, your mom is getting real fresh with you, bro.
Yeah, she is, bro. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, that's not great. And then Principal, giving every McFly ever crap.
Like, that's just his lot in life, is just to give every McFly crap for the rest
until
of their lives.
Until he dies.
Just till, yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm hopefully...
Slacker. Don't be a slacker, McFly.
Although, I know this really messed up with me, but considering that the McFlys are the good guys, kind of hopes that, considering how old he is probably by now, probably going to kick the bucket soon, and I don't know if any of the McFlys are going to be sad about it. So, yeah, I said that low. Gosh dang it, I sound like a horrible person. And then, Crispin Glover is a really good actor here. And then Marty says, this is heavy, Doc. I don't know how that's a classic line, but...
It is a classic line. Like, I mean, he goes on to it, you know, and says a little bit more, but, you know, that was one of the lines he said a lot into the movie, man. It is, it's a heavy situation, man.
And then, Crispin Glover... As a sci-fi writer, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think that he's just that type of cat.
Like that wacky dude that watches Star Wars every day.
I mean, that just has that kind of scientific mind to write, like, you know, fictional stories about, you know, going to space and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And then, why don't you make, like, a little tree and get out of here, Biff? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I think the line is, why don't you make, like, a tree and leave? But, you know, Biff is about as sharp as a bowling ball, so, you know.
Jeez, man. And then, not wanting to ask someone out because of a sci-fi show, bro, come on. And then, number one, just ask her out, man. And number two, his haircut. You're not that edgy, bro. Stop. Just stop.
Who? Crispin Glover's character?
Yes.
Yeah, he uses a lot of grease in that hair, man.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, you're
it's
not,
a lot of hair
you're
product.
Not playing the Sega Genesis. Stop. You're not that edgy, bro. Stop.
Oh, okay. There we go.
And then, Eddie Van Halen to basically wake him up is number one.
Yeah. Chef's kiss as well.
Mwah. Beautiful music there. And then I think we've invented a new show from... Darth Vader from the planet Vulcan. I believe this show is now called Star Trek Wars.
That's actually really good.
And then so cool. How cool is it just to give your pops tips on how to hit on your mama?
Yeah.
So
also
kind of awkward.
Kind of awkward.
Because
weird.
You know they're already married in the future, so
right.
She's like, okay, bro, I need you to do this. I need you to do this, and I need you to get it. I need you to go with the flow, my man. Even though he's your dad, so you gotta make it a bit more, less daddy-ish.
Yeah.
Or just talking to a friend.
True.
And then, stupid Biff and his crew of dinguses. That's a superhero team right there. And then...
The bad guys, baby.
Boom, right in the kisser. Just shot by Marty just slipped right onto the floor, and then nice pop in the mouth. Yep,
absolutely. So, oh, this is the diner scene, right?
Yes, yep, yes, yes. Yep. By the way, with the smooth Goldie, bro, he was getting
it. Did you see the moves that Goldie was shooting? Hey, that whole place was getting it, though. That diner was live, bro.
You want to know who was there?
Where?
Marcellus. Burn, 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 burn. And then Biff gets into his sweet ride. Dude, yeah. That car is dope. With the black and red.
Man, I forgot to look up what car that was. But yeah, I love that car. It's a sweet ride.
Mm-hmm. And then Marty is killing it on that makeshift skateboard.
Absolutely.
Killing it. Shredding it.
Dude, shredding. I mean, what is that? Like a piece of wood and some janky little like wheels and stuff?
Yeah, like shopping cart wheels.
Absolutely.
But he's killing it. I'm proud of him. And then he makes a... He first, Biff crashes into a truck of what we don't know, and then find out that it is pig poop.
Yeah, it's a lot of manure, okay?
Some poo-poo?
That's some poopery. Poop-ery.
And then a great scene and a great score over. Obviously, we are children, so we are laughing more at the poop than anything.
Yeah, that's true. But shout out Alan Silvestri for the music that came over this part. It was really cool.
Oh, yeah. I also love the next scene where we have the model breakdown of how everything's going to work.
Yeah.
And then how the 21 gigawatts or 1.21 gigawatts strikes it. And then the car pretty much explodes. Yeah, that's going to end well for Marty.
And he almost hits his whole house on fire, too. Like, way to go, Doc.
Yeah. And then number two, you're basically showing Marty how he's going to explode.
Yeah.
Basically. So, you know.
Meeting your imminent death.
Yes. And then... Marvin Berry with the starlight at the dance.
Yep.
With that smooth sax, baby.
That is a sweet saxophone player or saxophone sound that dude's playing. But that whole band.
Oh yeah.
It's fire, bro.
Oh yeah, they're all good.
Marvin Berry, shout out.
And then Marty's dad is really lost cause. That poor slub.
Oh man,
just
that
can't
guy.
Get some confidence.
Jeez Louise, buddy, just get an ounce of confidence, but just an ounce.
Mm-hmm. And then Marty finds out that his mom drinks and smokes, so, you know, that's wonderful. So, yeah. And then, the look on Marty's face when, his mom kisses him on the mouth, I mean, I'll be like,
oh, dude, I'm running, I'm running, like, dude, like my man says, from Iron Maiden, okay? I'm running to the hills. I'm running for my life, bro, okay? I'm trying to get out of there.
Oh, but... And then, dude, did you see the tuxes on that band, bro?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, dude, they looked great.
Yeah.
Sounded great, played great. Yeah, no, all the way around, and then, solid band.
Yeah, and then those jerks throw McFly in the trunk.
Yep.
And then they throw a racist comment at the guy, so...
Like, could we go through a movie without the racist comment, okay?
This is all I have to say.
Read between the lines, buddy.
This is okay? all I have to say.
But let me tell
say.
You... The band came out and showed them the what,
dude,
right?
They put on like the brass knuckles. Like, oh, you want to go, boy?
Oh, we're talking now.
Oh, we're doing this.
Oh, this is happening.
And then get him, Phyllis. And then the Biff punch scene, as George gets him with a fatality, just one hit KOs him. Well done, man.
Dude, that punch that he gave Biff.
Mm-hmm.
Once again. Chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm. And then Michael J. Fox can really play the guitar so good. And then finally we get... That's it, Fish. It's like it's the kiss.
Yes.
We're talking about all movies.
Yes. But we were waiting for this moment. Mm-hmm. We finally get to kiss. One second. Let me just bring it back. Michael J. Fox was really playing the guitar there. Right. And he is absolutely outstanding guitar player. Sorry.
And then basically... Michael J. Fox pretty much invents Johnny B. Goode.
Yeah. So.
And so, I as much as I love Chuck Berry, he kind of ripped off Michael J.
Yes, because that's going to go down very well in history. Chuck Berry bit Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, but then again, Chuck Berry's probably way more popular than Michael J.
Oh,
Fox.
Oh, man, let me tell you, dude. Chuck Berry would have ran circles around Michael J. Fox.
Oh,
dude is an absolute monster on the guitar.
And then I guess you guys aren't ready for this yet, but I'm going to tell you this. Your kids are going to love it.
Oh, yeah, that's a great line. When he talks about how he starts doing that really sick solo, and they were like, yeah, no, bro. We don't do that yet.
Yeah. But weird but super cool interaction with his folks when he meets them.
Yeah.
And the great line about the four-year-old setting the carpet on fire.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they didn't respond to that well in the actual thing.
I think it was just why he brought it up, for sure.
Yeah, he's like... And by the way, don't destroy me that day, please.
Please and thank you.
And then Doc Brown, in all his time pieces and stuff, 7 minutes and 22 seconds until he has to get ready. Well, I guess that's everything. What a line delivery. By me, obviously. And then that tree! The real villain of this movie.
The very last minute, it disconnects the plug, dude. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
And then Doc trying to connect the plug while almost falling to his infinite doom. And then I love this bit so much. It's cool, but dang is it suspenseful. And then now the car's not working, so that's wonderful. Doc finally catches the plug with his foot, only to unplug the other part of the plug.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And it's then finally, the car
so much. It's too much at this point.
And then finally, this car starts working after, comedically, he literally just headbutts it.
Yeah, that's right. Because apparently the DeLorean is a professional wrestler. Yes.
And then Doc got the plug, finally. Now everything is working. He now has invented zip lining. Yes. So it works. It's amazing. Doc Brown is over the moon. Marty finally showing up, and then she has a terrorist drive by the way.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, so the experiment worked. He hits it. The lightning bolt strikes at the perfect time. Also, we find out that that's also why the clock tower doesn't work mm-hmm. anymore. And then he ends up right at the perfect time, but his car stops.
Yeah. I will say this, though. That's probably how Doc Brown got his signature all puffy hairstyle. It's because when he got hit by the lightning.
Excellent. Excellent brought it up, son.
Mm-hmm. And then Marty basically rewatching the whole thing is awesome.
Yeah.
He's super sad, though.
Yeah, because Doc gets shot again.
Mm-hmm. But wait, Doc is alive.
He lives! The terrorist lives!
Well, I figured... What the hell? I meant to say heck.
That's fine. I wrote down, because that's what the line said.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Ooh, ladies and gentlemen.
It's called the Iron Fist of Tekken for a reason.
Oh, okay. I digress.
Wait, how did... How did the car just start up again?
Yes, I do want to know that. How does the car start up again?
Convenience! Oh, by the way, when he gets back and all that, I'm calling... Or when he finally makes it back in time, but it looks really bad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say this. Extreme cheese!
Oh, wait a minute. Are we talking about when he comes back with the plastic tie? And, like, with the silver glasses and such?
No. Not, bro, you just literally spoiled it.
I'm sorry. My bad.
I live with this man. And then Marty gets home, and it's super awkward.
Yeah.
Because, number one, his place is sick.
Yes, it's changed.
Yeah, he probably has, like, an NES there, for all we know. His parents and his siblings are all different because they all got loot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that punch mm-hmm. that he gave Biff back in 1955
mm-hmm.
changed the course of time for them.
Yeah, and then I'm going to say this. Biff has a sweet suit.
Dude, that tracksuit mm-hmm. that Biff, all we're doing is missing a little bit of black.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of that
FC pin.
That's right, baby. Shout out. Mwah! Shout out.
Mwah! And then also sweet like banner everything is cool. And then you see the car. The great cars in this movie, but that truck.
Dude. That truck that Michael J. Fox have is absolutely sweet, man.
Can we put some monster truck wheels on
there? Oh, big time, dude. Some 36-inch Mickey Thompson's, man. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then Marty with his sweet ride. And we get an amazing line, where we're going, we don't need ropes.
I love that line. Brr, so brr, good. Brr, brr, brr.
But before that, Doc is coming back with some sweet shades, a dumb tie, why is there just a plastic see-through tie? Why is that the thing? And then, trash power now, so good for the environment. Absolutely. I like it. Like it.
No, shout out no longer having to use plutonium.
Mm-hmm. And then, this movie still holds up okay. And then, it's time for Dad's favorite part of the podcast. Would this movie be better with the Clash song in it? And the answer is always...
yes, ladies and gentlemen, always yes. And of course, this movie would only need one song from the Clash, ladies and gentlemen.
Should I say or should I go? But if that doesn't work, if we've already done it before...
Ladies and gentlemen. That was hype. Oh, man, I love it.
But if that wouldn't work, then we would do Armageddon time.
That's right. But no, I think Shoulda Stay or Shoulda Go works. But that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's episode 15.
The end of the podcast.
That is the end of the podcast, yes.
Do you want to tell the folks what we're doing next?
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, next movie that's coming up is Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Oh, I cannot wait, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to the basement of the Alamo, guys. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, sounds great.
And DJ's never seen it either. Oh, and also, we may have a surprise coming up for you.
So, you know.
You might want to be looking for that later on as well. We might put that in
Saturday or on Sunday.
Maybe, we don't know. But we will announce it on our IG. And remember, guys, it's Movies My Dad Made Me Watch _ podcast on Instagram. Give us a shout, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Deej, I am the dad.
Number one, smile at some today, because you never know what's going on during this, all this craziness going on currently.
And also, ladies and gentlemen, remember to be kind, because honestly, a little show of kindness can go a very long way.
As you can see from this movie.
That's true. I hope y'all have a great day, and we'll talk to y'all next week. Or maybe earlier. Later.
Bye.